Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Scruggs et al. Titled Post-Translational Modifications of Cardiac Proteasomes. This article published online April 20th, 2012. My guests today are Associate Editor Meredith Bond, author Nobel Zong, and leading expert XJ Wang. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I'd like to start out to get both Nobel and XJ your thoughts about sort of big questions. And the first one would be understanding the role of post-translational modifications of proteasomes, both reversible and permanent. Why is this so important to help us understand cardiac physiology and pathophysiology? Nobel, would you like to start?
Sure. Cardiac proteasomes are made of a heterogeneous population, which regulates the dynamic of protein quality controls. Many forms of cardiovascular diseases, including ischemic cardiomyopathy and hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, feature an altered function of proteasome complexes and cardiac proteome remodeling. So we identify post-translational modifications such as phosphorylation, acetylation, and oxidation affect every aspect of proteasome function.
Thank you, Nobel. XJ, in terms of understanding how proteasomal function might be altered in cardiac disease states, what are your thoughts on this?
I would say the protein degradation is half the equation in terms of determining the lifetime of a protein that is functional in a cell. The ubiquitin proteasome system, specifically the protein degraded by the proteasome, is responsible for mass majority of the degradation of mass majority of cellular proteins. Both dysfunction status may contribute to the disease progression, in this case, cardiac disease progression. And for instance, recently has been demonstrated if you inhibit proteasome in cardiomyocytes, that can exacerbating the progression of or myocardial ischemic reperfusion injury, for instance. On the other hand, if by genetic means to enhance proteasome function, for instance, by overexpression PA28-alpha, that can enhance proteasome-mediated protein degradation of especially misfolded proteins, that proves to be beneficial to the heart.
Let's then turn back to Nobel. So we've known about the role of proteasomes, and we've known about the importance of post-translational modification and the various flavors of post-translational modification of proteasomes in the past. What you've proposed in your article is that it's important for us to get a more holistic overview of all of the different post-translational modifications, as well as different subcellular regions where these different post-translational modifications occur. Why is the approach that you have described in your review so important for us to better understand this whole field?
Proteasome complex is an abundant protein complex in the cell. In the traditional view, people see the protein degradation process are mainly regulated at the ubiquitination level. And the regulation of protein degradation actually on the proteasome complexes has been underappreciated. So the traditional way of studying PTM is including genetic mutations, including radioisotope application. So there lead to many, many limitations. You basically targeting one or two sites when you want to study, and you overlook the majority of the PTMs. However, in the cardiomyocyte, all the function in the proteasome complex interrelated. So in different subcellular locations, for example, as the cytosol associated with the microfiber and in the nuclear proteasome complex play a very different function, and their assembly being different, they are subject to different PTM.
Nobel, maybe you could comment on whether being able to use these more powerful approaches to understand some of the changes in post-translational modifications. What about the importance of N-terminal modification?
So the proteasome complex belong to a family called N-terminal nucleophilic hydrolysis. So the N-terminal of the catalytic subunit having this actually produce some degradation function definitely play an essential role for this complex. Studies have shown that the N-terminal propeptide for this catalytically active subunit play an important role for the complex assembly. And currently, in proteasome complexes, N-terminal acetylation and methylation has been observed. And also, of course, the removal of N-terminal propeptide during assembly, this all been observed. So whether or not this modification correlate to the stability of the proteasome complexes, this study have not been conducted.
Do you think that the current more powerful proteomic approaches would allow us to do that in combination perhaps with genetic modification of some of these to minimize or enhance some of these N-terminal changes?
By looking at the N-terminal changes, there are different strategies available. Definitely, there are genetic approach by changing the N-terminal residue to other amino acid residues, and if they are have less chance being acetylated or removed. There's one particular strategy that's currently being developed is using a stable isotope. So we can synthesize proteins by feeding animals with a stable isotope.
XJ, what's your view on some of these manipulations?
It's fair to say that this whole proteasome post-translational modification field is a nascent field. The only example, as I know of, is probably the protein kinase A mediated phosphorylation of the serum 120 RPT6. That was studied in a non-cardiac myocyte. Whether that same holds true in cardiac myocytes, I still not really know. And again, most of the modification, as summarized in a review article, was studied in other cell types. Very few was from cardiac cells.
Let's just look into the future for a moment. Nobel, if you wanted to look ahead, what are the hurdles that are perhaps limiting us?
One of the limitations we perceive is that how to correlate the PTM in the context of biology. So that one of the most challenging issue to be addressed in this study. So the other challenge is that we have observed many different forms of PTM on proteasome complexes, and how these different PTM events interact with each other, how they correlate. The third challenge is the data analysis. So we have a large quantity of proteomic data set, but whether or not we have filtered all the useful information from the data set. So we're talking about terabyte and terabyte of data set.
XJ, in terms of next steps in applying this approach to cardiac pathology, what do you see as some of the most burning issues that are on the horizon?
In terms of pathophysiology, first of all, compared to normal baseline condition, those PTMs, how those PTMs are changed in disease states and why that happened, and tied to in a known pathophysiology, I believe the proteasome function is regulated in such a way that it really in coordination with the function of the cell, either at the baseline or during stress condition. And the proteomic approaches in combination with mutagenesis, with disease model, certainly will help us to have a better understanding in pathophysiology in general.
Thank you both very much for your participation, and I will turn it back over to Kara.
And thanks for listening to this AJP Heart and Circ podcast.